Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material.
I think we'll skip that.
Yeah, we're going through. Are we back live now?
Yeah.
All right, and I hope to God you heard all this, because I don't want to repeat all this stuff again, but a lot of guys ask me information about the Marine Corps, information that maybe they're not getting their hands on, or a lot of military like to hear me talk about the military. So I don't know why it makes you happy, boys and girls, but we'll talk about it. All right, now, so let's say, you just want to say?
Yeah.
Okay,
they changed the format on this bill. As you notice, this is...
It's all different colors.
It's a different setup now, so...
Yeah.
Stacey, you can hear us, correct?
Hello?
Yeah, you can hear us, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
This is a Stacy. Nice to hear your voice tonight.
This is
thank you. You too.
All right.
Yeah, this is the Tuesday, April 2nd show of 2015. We had what 10 or 15 minutes. Little problem here to straighten out, but that stuff that happened, we have that's archived.
Okay, so people can follow that. So I don't need to repeat that over the thing. Pick up what you left off. Okay, more information about the Marine Corps. We won't make it all about the Marine Corps, but every now and then I really get a lot of questions about it. Now, this is information whatever you cannot find about the Marine Corps. Let's talk about if you are you want to make gunny sergeant. Now, Philip, a staff sergeant
is an E6.
And then a gunny sergeant, is that above that?
Yes.
All right, because you guys remember I'm in the Army, but I never was a military-type person. So let me tell you what crazy world's going on. I just spoke earlier that only 20% of the military today is going to survive. 80% will be sent home. That's not me making it up. I'm not being paranoid. I'm telling you, this is what the government says. The facts I have here are absolutely available to the public. You may not be able to find them, but it's all available. So let's talk about the top winners and losers. In fiscal year 2015, staff sergeants will see a jump in the overall number we're making gunny sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ready to make a move? It's good to go. Now I want to talk about the military occupation specialties that gained and lost the most allocations. So if you have a job now, I'm going to tell you, in the MOS 0369, fiscal year 14, there was 68 allocations. Fiscal year 15, there will be 152. So for infantry unit leaders, what was your MOS, Philip?
1316. I was a combat engineer, Bill.
Oh, well.
Did a few other things, but a combat engineer.
Okay, then. Well, I guess you're okay. How about a MOS 0111, the administrative specialist? Right now, they're for fiscal year 14.
Yeah, we call that the house mouse.
There was only 36 allocations. Fiscal year 15, they're going to bump that to 105. Now, again, you people listening to me and you're in the military and you want to get advancement, pay attention to what I'm saying. What jobs are going to jump? And I'll talk about what jobs are going to fall. Fiscal year 14 in MOS 2862, electronics maintenance technician, there was none. For fiscal year 15, we are going to create 51 positions. That's how important that is now. If you guys want to make a move, I'll repeat that again. Electronics maintenance technicians, there are no allocations at all. Jump on board, there will be 51 by next year. How about an MOS 0629 radio chief? Right now there are 29 in fiscal year 14. Going to bump that to 79 for fiscal year 15. So again, if you want a pay increase, you've got to be in a position that's going to allow you to step up. Motor Transportation Operations Chief. That's MOS 3537. All you Marines know what I'm talking about there. For fiscal year 14, only 28 allocations. Fiscal year 15, 72 positions. You want a pay increase, you want to get another stripe, this is what you got to pay attention to. Now, if you want to shoot yourself in the foot,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the decreased allocations. MOS 0491, that's Logistics Mobility Chief. Fiscal year 14, we had 70. We're going to cut this down to 55. Some of you people may be looking for work. If you can get a chance to re-up, get something that's going to give you a bonus, not something falling apart. 0231, Intelligence Specialist. That sounds cool. In fiscal year 14, we had 29. But for fiscal year, we're only going to, for 15, they're going to drop it down to 21. So being an Intelligence Specialist doesn't seem to be, even if such a good thing. 3051, Warehouse Clerk. 27 for fiscal year 14. They drop that down to 19 for 15. Some of you people will be looking for work. I love this one. MOS 6062. Aircraft Intermediate Level Hydraulic Mechanic. We had 10 positions available last year. Only 3 for next year. Mm-hmm. 7 people will be on the streets, folks. 0372. Critical Skills Operator. We had 50 in 14. We're going to cut you down to 44 for 15. It's not real happy, guys.
Mm-hmm.
6216 MOS. Fixed Wing Aircraft Mechanic, KC-130. We had 9 for fiscal year 14. There's only going to be 3 for 15. Where are these people going to go? The unemployment line. They're going to go to the VA for help. The military is going to kick them to the curb. MOS 7051. It's kind of important, I would think. How about an aircraft rescue and firefighting specialist? That sounds important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for fiscal year 14, we had 15. For fiscal year 15, we're going to knock that down to 10. Now, I think an aircraft rescue and firefighting specialist, we may keep that boy around, or girl, but they're telling me no. They're going to lose they're gonna lose 5 of the current positions. Never mind increasing. They'll lose 5 of the existings in here now. Enlisted Marines looking to get ahead, they have to find new opportunities. They can help if they're gonna improve their odds, but to secure a promotion, if you find a field, they need you. I don't care if you've been in the Marine Corps 10, 20 years, whatever. If you're in a field where it's a dead-end position, you're not going anywhere. The junior Marines, they're realizing that they need to get a rank on them. They need to find areas where the Marine Corps needs them. And I think the Marine Corps is running like a corporation now. We can't just hold somebody in for 20, 30 years. If he or she cannot do something in here, like the big corporations do, they just kick you to the curb. You military guys out there, you got time. How about get a degree, get a job, get a hit? In the 2015, there were 75 graduate programs. You got to try to get involved with this program here, folks. Education is everything. If you can't prove to the Marine Corps you're valuable,
you're out.
You're gone. That's right. That's right. We have a lot of March, April job fairs. And these are for going to be held in Pittsburgh, Boston, Washington, Nashville, Norfolk, Houston, Fort Bragg. We have military March, April job fairs going on everywhere. Pay attention. How can you improve yourself? Don't just sit and say, well, I got a job, I'm okay. It's not enough, folks. On these job fairs, we probably get about, this is pages and pages of where they're at. So wherever you're stationed, you can find out where the job fair is. You've got to step ahead. What you're looking for is a dream job, all right? You can't just say, hey, I take care of the motor pool. I've done this for 20 years. That's all I'm going to do. No, that's not happening anymore, boys.
Well, you know, there's another thing. I don't know if you know, Bill. The U.S., you know, the nerve gas.
Yes, I know.
The U.S. nerve gas hit our own troops in Iraq. More than 200,000 poisoned by sarin gas are feeling ill to brain cancer and Alzheimer's.
All right, I'm going to say this here, and I just know you're going to be happy about this here. What the military says you should think about, and we have a, I don't know his name here, we had a Marine, E7, college degree. Marine Corps wouldn't offer this person anything, so the Navy offered them something better. And it says here, it provided this person an avenue, professional path they did not have in the Marine Corps. However, the Marines, why do you join the Marine Corps? You join the Marine Corps to be a Marine. When people join other services, they become Marines. Phrases that you're so familiar with, Philip, earned, never given, the few, the proud. That's not marketing. That's real stuff here. They really pride themselves in unparalleled discipline, high standards, and dedication to the mission accomplished. I'm saying all that. This is why I know you want to be in the Marine Corps. I'm telling you, your responsibility is to your family. How can you get ahead? Coast Guard. Oh, people say, what's the Coast Guard? I'll tell you what the Coast Guard is. It's part of the military, and the Coast Guard has got opportunities for you. It's a very small service, that's true. In fact, I've never met a Coast Guard person.
I talked to him every few days.
Okay, so I mean, we know they're out there.
Work on the ship.
There we go, there we go, okay. Now, the Army people, why would you go in the Army? Now, I'm going to tell you. It's big enough to offer a range of choices. Now, you're a hardcore Marine, Philip, but you got to accept the fact that being a smaller organization, it doesn't have all the opportunities provided. And many Marines, they sent them over to Army, Navy, and Air Force for education, right? Okay, we're not going to argue on that.
We know a guy who was a Marine, Air Force, and the Army. We'll see. The comedian.
I didn't. Remember? Yeah, yes, I do now, yeah. Okay, now, what's the hot ticket? The hot ticket right now, boys and girls, is the Air Force. The door's swinging pretty wide open.
You have to be pretty smart to get in the Air Force now.
You know what? It's they're going to start 47 new job titles. And they're looking for at least 250 prior service personnel right now. That's pretty darn good. Yep. They want you to transfer over, so they have to do all that boot camp and training and all that. And they figure the hardest boot camp is with
Marine
service, Philip.
Marine Corps.
Exactly. So if we can get these guys and girls through the Marine Corps, then they get them doing Air Force work, Coast Guard work, they get the best of both worlds. And I know Phil's saying, yeah, but you're not a Marine. You're always a Marine. I understand that. But if you have a wife and a kid or a couple of kids and all that, you got to say, what's my future?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I got to look at a job in the Air Force.
Or maybe you got to look at a job in the outside.
Exactly, exactly. I'm going to get that too. And I don't want to forget my Navy, guys. I do want to say that, how do you describe Air Force? Air Force is high tech. Folks work on space technology and missiles and research labs. This is a pretty good deal with them. Let's talk about the Navy, though.
Go ahead.
Here we have a person in the Marine Corps for 5 years. A young lady, she took a couple years off to have a child and then said she wanted to wear the uniform again. And it was the Navy that stepped up and gave her a tremendous opportunity. She says, I know how much the Marine Corps took care of her. But there's no point in being a Marine if you're not planning to be the best Marine in the world. And her training, which was some type of medical, she really felt that putting the military, the Marine Corps uniform away, which was tough, and putting on a Navy uniform, but she thought about her family. So that's kind of interesting there. And again, I hope being a former Marine, I hope you can understand, I'm trying to get the best of both worlds. Let's get these young recruits in here that have been through basic training, a hard basic training.
Right.
And now we're getting them in high-tech stuff, too. I was in the Army, and I want to tell you, they sent me to Shepherd Air Force Base with a couple Marines. These are pretty sharp Marines. They made the best out of it there. So do not be afraid to ask for promotions. A transfer is not that difficult. I'm going to tell you right now. You can walk up to your company commander and consider a transfer to another service. They'll work with you on that. They can see that this transfer is for your best benefit and the benefit for the service. Don't be afraid to walk up. And this is hanging on to the Marine Corps. I absolutely understand the being around. I understand the importance, the pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's single people. If you have a wife and kids, you have to see about the future. And if you can help this country by being Army, Navy, Air Force, God bless you for that here. They also have a whole bunch of stuff here. And I don't mean to drag this out here, but a lot of Marines ask me, where do I get the information? Well, I'm not going to quite tell you that. But if you're thinking about getting into schools, 150 colleges and universities responded to the third survey on business schools. Best bet for vets right now, business schools. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to read everything in here, but the number one school in the whole country is the University of Nebraska, Omaha College of Business Administration. That's pretty good, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read down here where San Diego is?
No.
Number 17.
Yeah.
Number 17, buddy. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can find something by Chicago. Oh, you know what? University of San Diego is 25th. San Diego State is 17th. So that's pretty decent. San Diego got two of the 25th anyway. Can I find some? Oh, University of Illinois, Philip, Urbana, Champaign College, 28. Just to give you something like that. Now, you know, everybody knows I'm from Boston, so where's the blankety-blank thing for Massachusetts? Let me hang on a second here. What kind of crap is this? Maybe this survey is not accurate. Here we go, 42. University of Massachusetts, number 42. Oh, also we're number 47, University of Massachusetts, Amherst. That's a good deal with that. So, Massachusetts, we're in the top 50 anyway. All right, now you also mentioned about getting out of the military and starting a business, a private sector.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying right now, believe it or not, franchising works best for people who want security of choosing a brand name business with provided products, a turnkey operation, established business operations, and guidelines, training, and support. Now, again, I'm Bill Kennedy. My brother is Mike Kennedy. We own Kennedy's Custom Cycles. We opened a motorcycle shop without understanding inventory, line items. We just did nothing. We truly floundered for years. They say for you to get out, find a franchise. Now, what's a franchise? KFC is a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's is a franchise. 7-Eleven's franchise. So, you Marines, Navy, all military, think about getting out. That's what you got to have. Have some money to invest up front. Work hard. Running a franchise still takes a lot of work to succeed. However, you get a name brand tied on you. My brother and I couldn't or didn't want any name tied on us. That's why it's Kennedy's Custom Cycles Oceanside. We're not Zodiac Choppers or anyone. No. It's a family name. But that's the wrong way to do it. You need to check your franchises out there. You need to find out what is doing good. Talk to other franchises. Find out what is going on. And for God's sakes, before you jump into it, like my brother and I did not do, get professional help. If you're investing money, get a franchise consultant or franchise lawyer. Don't depend on a general business attorney.
Nope.
And that attorney don't know what's happening, buddy. Now, why would you not want to get into a franchise? Are you concerned about it? If it doesn't have a proven business concept, if it has a history of conflict, it doesn't have a list of current franchisees.
Marion says if you're scared of the water or can't swim, do not join the Navy.
Oh, very good, Marion. By the way, anybody out there wants to know, I'll share some personal with you. I can dive with the best of them. I cannot swim. I can swim the length of a pool because I can see where the pool ends. If Philip and I were out in the ocean in a boat and the boat sank and I couldn't see the shore, I'm not going to make it. You're a Marine. You took that training. You can swim good, can't you?
Yes, I can. You know,
what's it?
About 29 years ago, Bill.
All right.
Mile out from the end of the pier.
I'd be dead.
Mile out from the end of the pier is a buoy.
Mm-hmm.
Me and another guy swam out to that buoy. When we came back in, the lifeguard said, "Where the fuck were you guys? Where'd you come from?" There's a buoy out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said, "There ain't no fucking buoy out there." The other lifeguard picked up, been out here as long as he goes, "There's a buoy out there." Did you guys swim out there and swam back? Well, we hung out there for a while and then swam back.
People would like to know, would you elaborate on what the two of you are doing out there all by yourself in that buoy?
Yeah.
You said you were hanging out. Can you elaborate on that a little
bit? Yeah. Swim out there, it was a fucking mile out, though.
Yeah, you said when you got there, you hung out.
Yeah, you had to rest or swim fucking back.
I'm just curious what you're doing out there. People want to know. We have people on the thing here, like,
No, this can't swim, don't join the Navy.
Yeah. This is good. And I'm winding this down here now. Marine Corps is finally getting in tune with fighting foot rot. And they're going to have a new program coming out here, and hopefully people will get to it. It's an insert in your boot, and you reuse it 5 to 10 times. You put it in at night when you take your boots off, and they suck all the moisture out there. They do two things. They keep the bacteria out of you, and they stop the jungle rot. They're going to be training in Okinawa, Japan. Is there jungle in Okinawa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because the Marine Corps is a jungle warfare training center in Okinawa. And they were training, I did not know this again. So they were training all over Okinawa, walking in the mud, spending time in the mud in here, trying to see if we can prevent the jungle rot, which has been such a deadly curse for all troops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people are going to want to hear this one. Ever seen those military people running down the road? They got those big backpacks on them. Finally, the Marine Corps is realizing that, maybe we're hurting their backs. Well, no shit. Impact on the spine. Pain. And also when the Marines had to sit and lay prone on their elbows under qualifying for the war, that's causing problems. Nobody knew that. Any one of us was in the Marine Corps. Any of us in the military, we knew that walking around these stupid backpacks all day long is causing back pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say before I cut you off, then?
Well, just that it's a different world now, Bill. Not the Marine Corps I knew.
Oh, my God. I almost got through the day. I almost got through the day on that. All right, I will, like, only no more than once a month, but I'll be talking about all this Marine Corps stuff in here. I don't have access to the Navy and all that stuff with that, but the Marines are willing to give me information when I need it, when I request it, so I can talk to you about active military and your retired military, what's going on. Because I know you retired people. I know you never received any of these opportunities. When I was in the military, and it was so long ago, and you had the same problem, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You were a little later than I am, but how many weeks of basic training did you have, sir?
16.
16 weeks of basic training.
Then I went to
advanced infantry training or something.
That's correct.
Okay. But that first 16 weeks, it really had to do with not your specialty field, but preparing you to become a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a civilian, and then you went into 16 weeks, and after 16 weeks, you were transcended into a Marine. Now, can you remember when you get out, how much time did they prepare you to get out?
30 days.
30 days? What did you do during the 30 days? Can you remember?
Yeah.
You don't need all of them. Just give me a recap.
Did a lot of shit, though.
You shit an awful lot. I don't mean that stuff, Phil. I want to know. Did they prepare you for a job market?
Yes, they did.
They did, okay. And this is the difference between me getting out in 1970 and you getting out what year, sir? 89. I truly was in Tehran. Then I was in Europe. Then I took the flew to Fort Dix, New Jersey. And this is what I remember now. Film.
Mm-hmm.
And sign on a piece of paper that I watched the film. That is the only type of re-up or re-education or redirection I had. Now, in the Army, we had 8 weeks. Because we figured it don't take us 16 weeks to learn. So we're a little faster than you were. 8 weeks prepared me being a trooper. And truly, I had like a one-hour film. It was time for me to go home.
Mm-hmm.
No one told me about getting a job. No one told me about unemployment. I didn't know about any of these things at all. But yet, they gave me so much time to learn. Yeah, well. Kind of sad. By the way, some in Ashland, Kentucky, some of our friends back there, there's a historical building that's going to turn into a military blast from the past. The old post office has been made into a military museum that is going to also host space for special events with them. So all of our friends in Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky, there's going to be an old building turned to a military museum. I personally love to go stuff with that. All right. Now, this is kind of interesting to me. And, as again, I am getting it down here. Four Americans. Military, civilians. What's the best place to go on holiday? And you're not going to believe this here, but they're saying this over and over and over. Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's a U.S. territory. It offers for Americans all the comforts of domestic travel, easy entry, no extra charges for cell phone service, and the U.S. dollar is the currency. But Puerto Rico also has the Caribbean beaches and Latin culture with waterfalls, colonial Spanish history, good food and drink. The San Juan area, you got beaches, you got hiking. There's two seasons in Puerto Rico. And I'll be talking about once a month or so about places to go, military. Puerto Rico has two seasons, wet and dry. So during the rainy season, price is cheap. You can figure that out all by yourself, right? April through November, it's cheap because you may be stuck the whole damn time in your hotel room. So this is not the best way to go. Other than that, the other season is a sunny part of the year. You pay a little bit more for everything. Come on, you knew that too with that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got century-old waterfront forts. They've got large gates, tunnels, leads to the city. You can go to the famous tropical rainforest, and many of my friends said that. It's absolutely spectacular. Holiday Inn Express, El Cheney. The Holiday Inn Express El Cheney Lodge on the Army's Fort Buchanan is available to active and retired troops, their families. Now, I'm saying that because I will talk about occasional vacations, and I'll tell you, as active military and retired military, where can you go get a deal? So, in Puerto Rico, they speak English, everything is good to go, find the good time of year when the sun is out. And if you want to stay, the Holiday Inn Express, El Cheney Lodge, on the Army's, that's the Army, I said, sir, the Army's Fort Buchanan, is available to active and retired troops and their families. And the post has got the usual stuff, commissary, exchange plan, and its own recreation facilities. So people asking me, well, Bill, is it safe to travel anymore? I don't know for sure where anything's safe because the whole world changes over and over. But I'm telling you for a fact, every time I read you something there and I tell you where we suggest you go, Philip and I do not own a travel station. But we're just trying to tell you where you can go and get the best bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a couple more notes here and then I'm going to cut the military aspects out of it for tonight. Alrighty. I know you're going to love hearing this one. Sleeping over 8 hours can boost a stroke risk. People who sleep for more than 8 hours a day have increased risk of stroke. And the risk doubles for older people. Ooh, that's me. Researchers say it's unclear why this exists, and they're going to explore it some more. All right. So I don't know. You have family take care of you, a job. Do you ever get 8 hours sleep when you live? No, we don't have 8 hours sleep. Philip, you've been waiting for this one all day. I mentioned earlier about you and your affiliation with drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, buddy. Drinking coffee may be associated with the
Hold on. Stacy.
Uh-huh.
Stacy, are
yes.
you awake? Listen to this.
Yeah,
one.
I'm listening to you guys.
And you haven't fallen asleep yet?
No.
Coffee reduce your risk of MS. Drinking coffee may be associated with a lower risk of developing multiple sclerosis, according to a new study. Caffeine intake has been associated with reduced risk, and that study shows that caffeine intake may also protect against MS, supporting the idea that the drug may have protective issues for the brain. Now, in the U.S., people who didn't drink coffee were about 1.5 times more likely to develop the disease than those who drank 4 or more cups of coffee per day in the same year. Stacy, what is your intake of coffee in a day, please?
Oh, God. let's see. I have 2 hot cups in the morning, and then I get an iced coffee, and it's usually an iced coffee in the afternoon and an iced coffee in the evening. I don't know, about a pot and a half, and I'm only supposed to have 1 a day. I'm bad with coffee. It's bad.
Sweetheart, that may be pushing it just a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
I ask you, Philip, how much you drink a day of coffee?
3 cups.
You're pretty consistent on that. You can actually go up to 4 and without doing any damage. In fact, you may be doing yourself a great service by that, so. All right, I am going to wrap this up with one more small article. And March 8th marks the 50th year since the 1st Brigade Strength United States Marine Unit arrived in Vietnam, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
That day in 1965, about 5,000 Marines from the 9th Marine Expeditionary Brigade landed to defend the American air base at Da Nang.
Da Nang.
What the hell are we doing over there with an air base before we sent the troops over? All right. It's an anniversary that we met with little fanfare because the military doesn't want to talk about it. However, the impact of that day and the years that followed the Vietnam War still affects our country in ways large and small. The Vietnam War was argumentatively the most divisive war in our nation during the 20th century. 9 million Americans served. And what did they draft me for? They had enough people over there. 58,000 made the ultimate sacrifice. 58,000 of my fellow Americans died. I don't know what the hell for. Now, not just those service members that were forever changed, their families, their buddies, and their country as whole also were impacted socially, politically, and military. I had always said about my impact on Vietnam, before we sent a single soldier over, we should have dropped every damn bomb we had on the country and flattened it out, rather than risk one American life. However, that's only my opinion. What the Vietnam veterans faced when they came back home was a divided America, and at times little or no respect for their service has now generated a new legacy. I don't think that they're friends of mine that I was in 69-71. I don't think any of us came home proud. I don't think any of us felt that America cared about us. And I want to clearly identify that my father served 3 tours in Vietnam. In 1970, the type of work I did, I was stationed in Tehran, Iran. I was doing some intel communication. I was just floating around, not doing much of anything. Yet. But we came back. Where was the people in America that said, I want to shake your hand. Thank you. Welcome home. I didn't see any of that shit, Phil. Nothing. It was the Vietnam veterans who vowed to never again let a generation of Americans go to war without the support and respect they deserve. We have got current wars raging on, and it is still, even though the Vietnam veteran era, which I am not a Vietnam vet, the Vietnam veterans and the Vietnam veteran era, we are the first to recognize our Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans for their service. I don't know a single Vietnam vet or era vet such as myself that has anything to do but love and respect for the troops. We're not that crazy about our government because we don't even know why. There isn't a single country out there that is worth one American life. I don't really care why we're fighting. I don't even know why we're fighting. The point is, though, that I don't want to see one of our sons or daughters. I don't want to see a nephew, a niece. I don't want anybody to have to leave home again and kiss their family goodbye and not know if they're coming home. Now, when I got drafted, we took the family station to a station wagon, and my mother, my two brothers, and my sister, I believe, they came to the station to see me get on the bus, to hug me, because they worried about me. I believe to this day my father went to the station to make sure I got on the goddamn bus and do something right, stop hanging around, riding the damn Harley Davidson. But he did 3 tours of Vietnam, so a lot of respect for the work he did here. Okay, the health care of veterans has been on the front burner issue lately. Why is our government screwing us? At a time when they needed us, and I'll repeat that, 9 million Americans served in Vietnam era. I'm healthy as a horse, and I'm grateful for that. People who know me, you know, I'm very healthy. What about those of us that come back that need help? What the response is, sorry, nothing we can do. There are Vietnam veterans still dying today of causes related to service. The long-term care of our nation's veterans must be a priority. You cannot push us underneath the rug. We're not afraid to make noise now. We're not united as much as we should be, but we're getting better every day. Since Vietnam, every time our service members have been in harm's way, the aftermath of Vietnam has been present. Recent debates about authority for the U.S. involvement against Islamic State group, they trace directly back to the War's Power Resolution put in place in 1973 to limit presidential authority without congressional involvement. Obama, are you paying attention to me? I'm going to repeat that again in case you didn't hear me. The War Powers Revolution. It's in 1973. It limits presidential authority without congressional involvement. Why are we, the senators, the congressmen of America, why are we okay in this? If we have a president who wants to fight in wars, he can only make a suggestion. I'm asking you right now, do not let this man bully us into another war. Okay, dedicated in 1982, the wall. And please tell me, everybody's listening to me, no matter what country you're in, tell me you've been to a wall, a traveling wall. Just go there and see how humble you feel. It's a tangible symbol of the national dialogue regarding this divisive time in our nation's history. Through the wall, we remember those who sacrificed all, those who served, those who waited, and those who continue to serve today. In keeping with the spirit which the wall was created, we want to teach all generations about military service so they show their appreciation for those who care. Now, Phil was with me a while ago when I spoke to a lot of veterans, and I said, I wish every one of you could go home and stay home. Don't come back to the military. And I paused for a second and I said, but you can't go home. Because we, the American civilians, we the public, we need you as a vanguard to keep those crazy lunatics away from us. I swear to you, if I could figure a way to let you people go home, I would do it. But we live in a world full of crazy people. And we need you men and women out there keeping the wackos away from us. Okay, the anticipated education center at the wall. Oh, this is too sad to read. I don't want to read about this because I get a little touchy. They want to... Whoops, I'm sorry.
Well, here, let me... Okay. Let's change gears for a second here.
Go ahead, Phil.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Catch your breath, drink your...
Because I'm getting a little irritated.
Everything a Pepsi. But this is Danny Trio promoting the Irwindale Speedway event, Phil.
Yeah.
This is going to be that celebrity race of Rusty, Danny... Me and a bunch of them are all in. Here, let's see if I can get this to play. Nope, won't do it.
Okay. When's this race going on?
April 11th.
Oh, okay.
Gates open at 4, race starts at 6.
Do we have something to do in April 19th? Isn't it an open house something?
That's an open house at Rusty's place.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have to lose your motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Any of you Orange County LAP would like to stop in and visit us, we'll be up there for doing that. And while I'm changing the subject here, because I'm going to stop talking about the military, I seem to keep getting more irritated. We're not sure about Philip's schedule, but I will be at Yuma, Arizona. That's April 17th, 18th, 19th, I think it is, Phil?
17th and 19th.
Yeah, I'll be there. So I look forward to many of my friends in Arizona, Colorado. They come down and meet me at Yuma Prison. We get a chance to talk. People want to associate my voice with my face for some reason. I don't know why.
You want to say who joined us, Bill, yesterday and today?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that Fitch came out. No, you go ahead, please.
Well,
no,
we ran into Ryan and, you know, Ryan the photographer from Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
And he brought Jacqueline with him. And this is the one picture we took.
Oh, my God. My arm's on a helmet, okay.
No, your arm's on my helmet.
Well, what the hell? Excuse me, it's a helmet. It's black. What the hell is giving me their helmet?
A couple of the fellas joined us for the other picture.
Yeah.
And people saw this and said, hey, that bike looks brand new. What'd you do?
Obviously,
you know I keep that in pristine condition.
You do that. You protect all the dog shit out of that every single day. I want to point out that...
hey, dog... Did you see these, Stacy?
No, I did not.
All right. Pull up your thing. You got to send it to you right
pull
now.
Pull up for what?
Pull up your page.
Oh, page.
Not pants. Page.
Are you putting... Oh, God. Are you putting those on... okay.
That's from yesterday.
You know, I'm really old. Anybody notice that I'm really old looking? Who took the pictures? Was that the
Ryan?
Ryan? Okay, pictures. Good. Okay. Because...
it came out pretty good.
Yeah, we had a... when I was at work today, she came over and we...
Huh?
I said, Phil, you look like the smart one, Phil, but that guy with the white hair, no, that's the good-looking guy.
Oh, you're too kind to me. I look like your grandfather. Go ahead.
She knows when she gets out here. By a bike, Bill. She's looking for a cut.
You know, sweetheart, does Philip look like he wants to... I want you to look at his face very carefully. Does he look like he just says, please come up, punch me in the face so I can punch you really hard. Do you get that look? And look at Bill over there. Peaceful, he's calm, he's happy, but does anybody else do that? Does he have that face like, please come up and hit me so I can punch you so hard? Does anybody else see that?
Yeah. Yep.
Is that the Chicago thing?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Possibility.
I do have to say that Jacqueline was over the shop today, and we took some different photos. She really, her hair, when it's down, it's really very nice. Very, very nice girl. Good poser, too. We sometimes have a problem when we have models. Sometimes they're beautiful. They don't know how to pose.
No.
So I appreciate it when I can find a girl that's got the ability to follow my lead. I wonder if she's listening to this tonight. No, I won't say nothing about that. Never mind. Okay. She's probably on the way home tonight like that. But what a nice girl that was. It was a good chance to get talked to Ryan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know this. No, you don't know this because you weren't there today. We've made it an arrangement. Oh, we did talk about it last night. I reiterated again today. Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about going down the Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
And being a gentleman.
You'll let him go first.
I ain't going down that thing first. What was it, the damn thing cracks or breaks or something like that. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Everybody's listening to you. If we go down the tank, the Shark Tank, you put on your little board shorts and jump down and go down the tank with us?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. I'm hoping everybody beside meet me in Yuma. We'll meet Phil and I in Las Vegas for the big bike festival. We'll have to agree on what time we can all meet the Shark Tank, and maybe we'll get a bunch of our friends all going down together.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy, you thought about going through the Shark Tank and having sharks all around you?
Oh, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. I think that's pretty cool.
Believe it or not, I never tried that. So, and we meant to do it, and there's no reason why we didn't. Just things happen, and we didn't do it. So, do we know when Las Vegas is?
Month? Yeah, it's October. It's the second it's the first through the sixth.
Okay. And then for people listening to me, that will be going to the El Diablo Motorcycle Run. I'll be down there in San Felipe, and then we're going to go 2 days in Ensenada. It's a big triangle. I get a chance to look up El Diablo Motorcycle Run. I think you'll find it's kind of interesting. Look up the Las Vegas Bike Festival. What hotel is the Shark Tank? Golden Nugget?
Golden Nugget.
Okay, that was a lucky guess on my part then. So if you get a chance, you don't have to sign up for that hotel. Just meet in front of the Shark Tank. I'm sure it's going to be okay. And I missed the Yuma Prison Run. Yeah, I mentioned that's coming up. For those Colorado and people that want to just come down and join us. What else do I want to talk about? I'm beginning to see for the first time how many people are starting to be aware of the fact that the police department are making this a bit more adversarial than we wanted to.
Well, you know, Bill, there's only two divining forces that have ever offered you to die for you. You know who the first one is?
You mean? No.
There are only two defining forces that have ever offered to die for you.
All right, and I remember I studied.
First one from, as everybody said, is Jesus Christ.
What do you mean everybody said?
I know.
Nobody listening to you said that either.
Okay.
You made that.
And the American soldier, one died for your soul, the other died for your freedom.
Yeah, that's a fact, Jack.
Let me see what this plays. This cop went off on a Uber driver.
A driver?
A Uber.
A Uber, what does that mean?
Man, someone that... They use their personal car to give you a ride wherever you're going.
You have to explain when that's over. I still don't follow that. What difference does it matter if I give you a ride somewhere?
It's for people's way to make money instead of...
Like an illegal taxi.
Right.
I never heard that before. Uber?
Yeah.
Is that a Chicago thing?
No.
It's not out here in California, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else believe that story about a Uber driver? I never heard that stuff. Well, everybody else says, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's something with this is going wrong. They're not
letting We're me, having some problem here today.
Well, they're not letting me play the videos today.
No. This is getting jacked up in here. All right, then. So, I've talked about some of the positive about the military. I questioned today if my son or daughter wanted to join the military, I'd be proud to say, God bless you and be careful. But let me get back to the draft for a minute. If my son or daughter was going to be drafted, how would I react? You know, when I got drafted, I was 18. I was already feeling my oats. I thought I could, a little bunch of brown people. I ain't worried about them. But I don't know today how I'd feel about my son or daughter, or in my case, my grandchildren. My son and daughter's too old. I wonder what I would do if they were drafted by the military machine. Just a question. I hope you all ponder that. Should the situation ever arises, don't make a quick decision, but think about what's the right thing to do. However, if your son or daughter wants to join, please go out of your way to encourage them. It's a wonderful opportunity. The education is good. And it's something they will remember for the rest of their lives. I don't remember every day in the military, but I remember more about my job with the military than anything that I've ever done in my life. Was the military right for me? No. Was I right for the military? No. Was I a good soldier? Yeah, I was. I never got, office hours? I never got office hours. I never got demerit. I know demerits, what the hell they do. I never got my stripe taken off. I was a good soldier. Mm-hmm. But when it came down to it, I just felt there's something else I wanted to do. So both Philip and I applaud and endorse and support any man or woman say that joins the military because they think they can make a difference. I believe you can make a difference. Getting just quickly back to the draft. I don't know.
Well, what happened at Kennedy Park today, Stacey?
Today is April 2nd, which is National Autism Awareness. And Kennedy Park is the biggest park in Fall River, Mass. It's adjacent to St. Anne's Shrine. We, as parents of autistic children, decided to get together and go down to the park with our kids after school and let them release blue helium balloons. And all we did was just try to promote a little bit of awareness, have people take some initiative to get together, to conversate, to show support of one another. And we had about 10 or 15 people that actually showed up. And we pushed the word through social media that we were going to do this. But the 10 or 15 people that did show up with their kids, the kids had a great time. We met other parents with children on all different levels of the spectrum. We met different children. And we're hoping that, you know, each year we can continue to do it till it maybe reaches, you know, better numbers and promotes more awareness and more education about our children, you know, because there's a lot of stigmatism that comes with having an autistic child nowadays. And it's more duly noted political-wise, news-wise, medical-wise, et cetera, but it still is stigmatized within society. People can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk that matches that talk. And it still boils down to, you know, our children were given to us this way for whatever reason. We're parents that are not looking to change our child because, you know, I wouldn't change my child for the world. He is who he is, and I'm blessed to have him. And we've had struggles. We've had happy times, you know, just like any other normal functioning family. And to try to correct him or change him or medically alter him, I would never want that. And I just want him to have a normal upbringing and for him to be able to mesh well with society and not have society single him out. So that's all we did. We didn't, you know, we didn't collect money. We didn't give away free hot dogs. We didn't have a balloon for every child that was there. We brought our children. Our children brought the balloons and, you know, we all said who we were and why we were there. And, you know, we just did a little thing, and we're hoping that it just will go somewhere, you know, because it starts with a few people, and maybe in a couple of years from now, it can be something really, really worthwhile that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, at all possible, if people, you know, really push it on a bigger level, I would like to do like, you know, like you guys do. You guys do stuff for the vets and you make sure all the proceeds go to where it's supposed to be. I would love for a day where they can find out, you know, what exactly causes this autistic gene to take place type deal. And that would be fabulous. Not to, you know, correct my child, but maybe for couples on down the road that are planning babies, et cetera, maybe we can have more advancement that way, genetic-wise and stuff, you know. It's a very big subject, and over the last 25 years, it's only risen to a new level of, how do we say, we keep our eyes on it. because we're having ridiculous amounts of children who are on the spectrum. Something that used to be one in every 80 boys has now dropped down to one in 66, and now it's girls and boys. Some people have come to conclusion that it possibly could be inoculations. As far as I'm, you know, what I consider, I think it could be the possibility of anything. I watch predominantly my child as the first 2 years of development coexist as what I saw was normal childhood development, normal child behavior, with a few things that were just off. And you say as a parent, not all two children are alike. You know, one may do something different than the other. But then things started to shift. Was it during the time where he was getting many inoculations as a child? Yeah, during that age of 2 to 4, they get quite a few. Would I blame that? I don't know what to blame it on. All I know, you know, is that I try not to place blame. I just try to be acceptant, you know, have acceptance to what is. And that was our biggest thing at the park today. We just want our children to be accepted for who they are. And, you know, some autistic kids are verbal, some are nonverbal, some are here and they're able to be within the presence of what you're doing, and some are trapped way deep inside and don't speak for the first 30 years, you know, and the spectrum is so wide and there's still so much to learn about it. But, you know, if I just think if more people got involved, of course you would have people that are going to be in it for greed, but maybe the few that are in it just like me to try to find out, you know, why this is happening. I'd be grateful just to find out why it was happening. You know, I can't change what is, but to figure out why it happened would be really good and probably good for a lot of parents.
How does it affect you in your relationship with God? Do you ever question God? Why do you?
I do believe, you know, I mean, I was raised, as Bill, you know, this part of the country, I was raised old school French-Irish Catholic. You know, that the stuff was pounded into me growing up. But as an adult, you know, I believe there's something, there's some type of higher being. I believe we all have some form of spirituality. But did I question, you know, a person of faith, my maker? Yeah, because when you first find out, you it's easiest to blame somebody that's not right in front of you, you know, off the top of your head. And then I think I lived with extreme guilt because I questioned myself. You know, I had him later in life. You know, when you're young, you do a lot of stupid things that can affect you later in life. I questioned, you know, my stupid choices as a young person. You question a lot of things, but then you come to learn that, you know, it's not this torturous thing that's been bestowed on you. It's a child. Your child needs love, needs to be disciplined, proper guidance, direction, no matter, you know, whether they're genius level or whether they're on a totally different level. And all children grow and prosper when you show them love. And that's really the bottom line to it. If you can come to accept that it's just something you don't have an explanation for. Like with MR, they have I believe it's like a gene type testing where they can determine, you know, whether the mother or the father can possibly be a carrier, and they can do that with a lot of different other bigger diseases and stuff, but they still don't know and can't find that stuff for this. And this is what's growing at a large rate. And I also, my fear is this. Back 15 years ago when ADHD and ADD became on the rise, everybody kind of like was like, oh, yep, another kid with ADHD. This is just a cop-out, it's a scapegoat, blah, 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 blah. And for some, that's possibly so. But for some, it's real. And I just hope that with the rise of this, that they can find some answers, because I don't ever want autism to become some type of something we put on the back burner and say, oh, everybody's looking, you know, for this, and everybody's looking for that, and oh, that's just another kid diagnosed with that again. If you have an autistic child, it is lifelong devotion, and it's not something that you can just, you can't dismiss it. You can't, you know, just say it's a fad or it's the, you know, the newest diagnosis of the year, you know, 20, et cetera. Because people who live with children on the spectrum, it's every day is a different experience. You know, there are no 2 days that are ever the same. You know, and I just have the most.
Sweet, how old is your son?
My son is 13.
13.
He'll be starting high school in September.
Ben, if something happens to you, what's going to happen?
My daughter. Yeah. Yeah, he's very, very attached to my
never
daughter.
About
and
those.
That's, yep, nope, that's something I had to think about earlier on, and you do, because, you know, I know he's in good hands with me, but, you know, I'm not always going to be here, you know, and it's true. It's like when you have a child that needs a little bit more of you, you have to, unfortunately, think like that. You do. Because you can walk outside and get hit by a bus, and your whole world's going to change in a matter of a blink of an eye, you know?
Oh, honey,
but
I understand
yeah,
that.
A lot of things.
I understand how that world changes. It's quite a surprise, yeah. Quite a
yep.
surprise. You know, may I ask you, how close, or have you ever heard of a town called Upton, Massachusetts?
I know where it is. It's about, probably about an hour, 20 minutes. Hour 30 minutes, give or take, traffic.
My daughter lives there now.
Oh, okay.
She traded the nice name of Kennedy in for a name of Esterbrook. So its name is Heather Esterbrook. I'm just saying that because one never knows, you could bump into her somewhere.
Okay. And I
what
won't
town
forget
you
that last
in there?
I'm in Tiverton, Rhode Island, but like I... Right on the state line of Fall River, Mass. It's literally 30 seconds up the road.
Well, I want everybody to know that when this show is over, I would like to say to you that I'm going to be going home and get some sleep, but no, not tonight, boys and girls. As soon as I leave here, my bike's loaded up. I got... I'm going to have for a long night. It's going to be a good night tonight, folks. The proper thing for a 66-year-old man to do would be going out this time of night and making a night out of it, but we're going to give it a hard ride. Hard ride. Oh, you know who was at the shop today? Of course, Ryan. Maid Marian came in, and they were talking. He got a chance to meet her in the face and all that. That was kind of nice. You know, what the heck? You know. We'll get to meet Stacy's face one day if she just packs up her stuff and gets out.
Oh, I don't worry, I'll be there soon enough.
Well, it is a little bit pricey out here. That's all I hear from everybody all day long, but everybody that gets mad at California packs up and leaves, I hear from them and they say, it doesn't matter what the cost is, just having the warm weather, the ocean, it's priceless. And unfortunately, they moved to another state. You know that the property they have is not worth that much money. Oh, Maid Marian. Oh, you know what? Maid Marian, I apologize for that. You know who was here today at the shop? Fran Del Santo. Mm. So I'm sorry, Marian, that was not you. Came in just after that. Fran Del Santo came up to visit me, and they would start talking. They started, hey, in your name, so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. I'm from Colorado. I'm from San Diego. They were just talking a little bit of the show. And then you came in just shortly after that when Fran Del Santo just left. And also,
Marion, do you know Megan, the nurse? She popped in there just as Fran Del Santa was there. So, Marion, you're not losing your mind. It was me giving the wrong name. I apologize. You could quote me something. Figures they lay dollars short. Well, I don't know, Marion. Actually, Phil and I are not an expert. Ryan wasn't that bad a guy. And she might like meeting him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'1" or 6'2" and articulate and interesting. Although you'd appreciate this, because I know you know Fran Del Santo, and you love this, Phil. Fran Del Santo took over the photo shoot. She took over.
Wow.
In fact, she took his camera away, and she did most of the shooting. I'll show you how to do this. He's going, lady, you know what you're doing? She said, oh, yes, I do. He said, my God, Bill, that girl knows how to shoot. So it was kind of fun there.
She does. That's, you know, she took that picture of me.
Spent
6 hours on her back in a parking lot.
Yeah, Phil, we don't want to hear this.
Okay.
Whatever you two did, no. Come on now.
You should have got a picture of Ryan. We don't know what he looks like.
That's true because he's a cameraman.
Oh. There's pictures of him. You don't know what he looks like?
Only the back of his head. I've never seen the front of him.
I would know his bald
head in a crowd.
we're gonna find him for you right now.
Let's shoot the back of his head.
Yeah, we do have the back of his head here. Well,
hang on.
Back of his head's the best side. No, I didn't say that.
Hang on.
I'm looking to see. No, we have nothing there at all. But we're going to have to ask him to send a picture.
No.
You got one. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
you
I'm
keep
looking
going
for
with
it while
that.
You're doing
all
that.
All right, okay then. So I'm going to be, like I said, all these Mexican trips and all that's coming up. We've got Laughlin coming up, which I'm going to be skipping this year. We got Vegas. We got...
Phil, we got...
There's so much.
We got
I got Providence May 3rd.
Listen, the open houses at the clubhouses for spring runs. We got April 11th is at Irwindale. That's the celebrity race.
Right.
I forget the name of the charity that it goes to. But every for the last few Thursdays, Emilio and Rusty are out there driving around the track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, driving stock cars. They're not driving fucking like
formulas or whatever. Yeah,
like celebrity race up in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving actual cars.
Cookers.
Mm-hmm. And then the 19th is open house to Rusty's. And then all through May, the end of the month.
Is this boring you, sir?
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Skeleton Kings in Temecula are going to have that run. The other one is down in South Oceanside on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Your Baca people are going to have that bullshit thing, whatever they do.
The Bikers Against Child Abuse.
Yeah, well, there's another one.
There
is another one that raises money and it doesn't all go to the charity.
Well, it's a good program, though, because they do help against child abusers. So I understand you're not happy with the amount, and that certainly is a valid point. But those people out there who are giving themselves to fight child abuse, let's give a big round of applause to them, okay? Where the money goes, that's a separate issue within the organization, you're saying. I'm saying all those people which are dedicated for fighting child abuse, we want to acknowledge them, thank them. Do you agree with that, mister?
Give that up.
I'm like pulling, you know, teeth to get you to say something.
Hang on.
I ain't going nowhere. Well, thank you for saying that. Sure. I wonder if, let's see. Why doesn't Marion ever call in? Marion, why don't you pick up the phone and just call in sometime? I'm reading all your notes all the time.
You better be careful. Fuck.
No. What was that girl with that beer on her head? That was pretty good.
The one that was doing that?
She had a flat spot on her head or something. She had a beer up there. That was pretty good. That takes special talent. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
Phil?
Yes? Phil or Bill? What do you want, darling?
Phil, Bill, well, both of you.
I have.
Don't forget,
Philip.
May 3rd, New England's biggest bike blessing, Providence, Rhode Island. I'll be there.
Oh, outstanding. We have our bike blessing. Is it April or May or something?
No, it's the end of this month, isn't it?
I don't even know what it is.
It's the end of this month. I think it's the weekend.
The
of
bike
the,
blessing? I ain't got
that.
It's
the 25th.
Is that my shop? I don't have
yeah.
that on my calendar at all.
Because I have, I'm launching a ship on the 18th.
I know. Last year it was in May in Providence, and it was chilly. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping for warmer weather.
Yeah, it's just way too much stuff for me to try to figure what's going on. I want a quick, I want to say shout out, but that's kind of hokey and all that for me and my age, use language like that. There's a motorcycle club called Devil's Disciples. They're having a get-together here in San Marcos, and they're putting a defense run on for freedom of motorcycles. They're welcoming all motorcycles to come together, and let's see if we can just kind of come together and discuss some of our problems. Filt is also a company in San Diego making a documentary,
mm-hmm.
and they've asked us to get involved on that. I believe more so they want you for the statistics and blah, 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 and maybe me just as, I don't know, say something, but you will be the... to be part of that with that, and that's going to be also for documentary coming on HBO, I think, or something. I don't know. Anyhow, what else is going on here? So, I asked Marion to call in. How come she doesn't call in? What did she write up for me? She's listening to Philip.
No, she said listen to Philip.
Listen to Philip. What is that?
Listen.
I don't want to listen to Philip. I want to call in. What's the big deal? Is my name up there in that article you're reading at all? No?
No.
Okay. All right.
That's
somebody else's article.
Mm-hmm. Just that popped up. I wanted to show you.
Yeah. Who's that on the Chester? Give me one sec, boys and girls. I'm going to run back just a little bit. I need my glasses on. What is that? No. You read that? I ain't going nowhere.
It's okay. This one looks like The Wizard of Oz.
Well, you know, maybe she got lots of money. Don't be mean. No, that's The Wizard of Oz. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, around 7:45, boys and girls, I'm going to sneak out a little bit because I do have something on a large-scale plan. Oh, good. I want to see that one more time. You know, can Stacy see this picture here?
Yes.
Stacy, can you see the picture right now up of Philip and I and our two buddies with Jacqueline?
Yep.
As you're looking at the picture, on the far left is a friend of ours. Had a hard life, but he's out. He's taking care of his life together. He's got a nice bagger. He's starting to hang out with good people. Thick as a brick. By the way, I point that out to you. Thick as a brick. Probably as wide as he is tall or something. But easygoing. He's truly the type of people that Philip and I like having around us. Guys that have been through conflict, but know how to deal with themselves
serious,
and take care of themselves.
Some serious conflicts.
Oh, speaking of conflicts, our boy at the Easy Rider Bike Show, he called me up from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That boy's thick as a brick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, for anybody looking at the picture, the gentleman on the far right... That is Bill also. He's with the Bikers for Christ. It's a Christian bike crew. He also has a checkerboard pass. He's put that all behind him. He's settling down. No drugs, no alcohol. Trying to let the Lord guide him. I believe the Lord helps those that help themselves, but... if he thinks that being involved in a religious organization can help him through that, I'm 100% for that. I think the Bikers for Christ is a good organization, as is the Soldiers for Jesus.
Yeah.
Warriors of the Cross and so many other Christian bike clubs that are out there.
You know though, Bill, that's a good looking Dinah.
Man, we got the fine looking woman. All you're doing is look at that beautiful Dinah. Huh?
But yeah, you were talking about Kenny called you from.
Kenny, yes. That's another thick as a brick. He walked down the road. There wasn't room for him to walk straight. He had to walk sideways almost. But good control of himself. Situation arose up there, and he never pushed the issue one bit. He let us flow with it at that, so that's a good deal, Kenny. Hope to see him back to California someday.
Damn. Just him being where we were that day, everybody was freaking out because they figured now we go anywhere we go, we got bodyguards.
Yeah. Hmm. I think Eddie came down my shop. Did you talk to him before? Yeah, he was down the shop there talking.
He's there for the bike busing.
Well, they gave for this. He said the Vanneke was down there talking, blah, blah, blah. Well, I want to give a special thanks to the end of the History Channel movie, Vagos. If anybody gets to watch that five-part series, I don't think it did any of us, the biker community, a favor at all. I think once again it gave us a black eye, made us look like they always try to make us out to be drug dealing, gun shooting. You know.
Hold on. Since you brought that up, I'm gonna read this story.
All right.
I'm not gonna say the name of the club, but it's in the top. It's at the top. The club on the top of the food chain. Okay. Let me see here. There we go. This happened up in Stocktonville. Okay. Now, This guy who said this, he's a lieutenant on his police force with the San Joaquin County Sheriff's Office. He said, a lot of motorcycle clubs are friendly, peaceful groups, but some of the clubs are associated with top of the food chain or one of the other top of the food chain gangs that are into criminal behavior. It seems, you know, they had a bikini bike wash and something got out of hand and everybody started shooting.
Well, some people want the bike wash really good.
I guess so.
Pull a gun.
Bring a gun.
We have a...
But the only reason this hit the paper the way it did is because a little kid in the car bullet went through the window and he got covered in glass.
Well, you know, last week we had a motorcycle club called the Violators.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an event at their clubhouse in San Diego. It was like running the gauntlet. I did not go down there because I just knew it was just going to be miserable.
That's why I didn't go.
I got a heads up. Everything was out of control. Different clubs that came down, the cops were just shutting them off, impounding motorcycles. We have a good friend of ours.
He got arrested for a felony with gang enhancements because the back of his shirt covered the knife in his pocket.
Mm-hmm. We actually had a good friend of ours that was down there, Todd Cheney. He owns Bail, High Five Bail Bonds, by the way. He bailed so many people out, got charges dropped there. He said Bill was the biggest bullshit tickets he's seen in his life.
Yep.
Now, he went down there on his Harley Davidson to have some fun. He did not go down there to be working and getting everybody bailed out, which he did, and we appreciate that. But he goes, sometimes he don't want to do these events because he ends up doing work all the time. He don't make money.
Yeah.
He ain't losing money. But, you know, he makes his money on high-profile cases and not these little bogus traffic. But he says somebody's got to be able to help people. So we want to thank I-5 Bail Bondsman Todd Cheney. Miggo, your stand-up guy. He's also been our friend for many years, another cage fighter, MMA fighter, and all that stuff. But one that's got control always of his emotions. That's a good deal there. I hope everybody's got bail bonds.
Hey, babe, I'm going to...
Have fun.
Okay. Somebody's
what was
came alive
that?
Here, boys. So anyway, Anyway, you need to make your own list of your bail bondsmen. You need to know your list of lawyers. Not that Phil and I are paranoid. We are not paranoid, but we don't go outside the door without a list of all these people who we need to pick the phone up and say, hey, blah, 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 because these people know how to cut through the red tape and take care of us.
Yeah, there was a funny one today, Bill. This guy tried to shoot the dog and ended up shooting the sergeant. He shot him in the ass.
You know what area that was?
No, they didn't say what police department, but great one for the dog team.
Well, since I know the police department check us intermittently on here, I want to...
Oh, the other thing I wanted to tell everybody is we got to...
Okay, sorry about that first.
We got to spread the word, Bill. Two nights, four shows, April 24th and 25th. Veterans of Comedy, our friend Will C., Sean, and Eric Knowles. It's going to be at the Comedy Palace on 8878 Claremont Mason Boulevard. Tickets are $20. Free VIP admission, no waiting in line, and preferred seating. We're going to this, Bill.
You know that's...
We're going to Friday night, Bill.
No, you know that's Laughlin. I'm not going to Laughlin, so it doesn't bother me.
No.
I'll point that out to you.
Yeah,
I'll be
no.
back from where I'm
going
to be.
Yeah. We're going to this on April 24th.
Good. Now, I want to say very quickly in here that... Because, again, people say we're Bill and Phil Arisero against police departments.
We're not.
We are not. There is a police officer in Oceanside who was splitting traffic on his motorcycle. He
70 miles an hour trade.
Let me get this one out here. He went down pretty hard. This man is no friend to the motorcycle community.
Gave his own brother a helmet ticket.
But saying this here, he was a police officer. He's a motorcycle rider who was a police officer. We understand he's going to be in the hospital for 3 weeks and maybe therapy for 3 months. We sincerely hope that his family is getting the best support they can. I know that any time a cop gets hurt, they all line up to help him and all that. But as a motorcycle rider to another motorcycle rider, we do wish you the best of luck. Again, maybe I shouldn't even say this, even though you are no friend to the motorcycle community.
That's correct.
We are 100%.
I heard he got a dozen roses from somebody who said, all my love, karma.
Oh, shit. There's no reason for stuff like that. Boys and girls, like I said, this is an officer that went down, a motorcycle rider that went down. I like to think it like that, and we do wish him, hopefully he recovers, or hopefully, I heard he's got 20 years in, maybe we'll all get a break. Maybe he'll get pensioned off or something, you know. This guy's got, now I'm not going to talk about what tickets he's got. A motorcycle rider went down, he's a police officer, Oceanside, California. We respect the fact that his family's, we hope them all blessings. That's pretty generic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure if you and I had an accident, there'd be, actually, some of the cops respect us. That's all we ask for,
right?
The ones
that said they really like me until but he's such an asshole. He just doesn't let shit go.
People say that about you a lot, Miguel.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, what the hell? Repeat that?
You don't have any events on April 15th?
That's a Wednesday.
Yeah. So you're free on that day.
Trying to remember. Go ahead and enlighten us.
It's my birthday.
Oh. Okay.
That's right. Going to be 46. So, you know. When you make a phone call, make sure you have friends.
You know, we should make it. Don't go anywhere, dear. We should sincerely try to put the show before, ask people to call in. We're going to do that, okay, darling? We're going to ask friends of yours to call in and just to make sure everybody wishes you a happy birthday because, it's a good thing to have. It's a good thing to be around for another year.
Oh, absolutely.
I had a nice compliment the other day. This young girl came in. She says, you know, Bill, I really believe that you're more sexy now in your 60s than you were in the 50s or when you were in your 40s. And she says, I've known you for a long time. I really believe, and I don't know if it's that I'm more sexy. I believe that I actually am more comfortable being in my own skin. This is who I am. I'm comfortable with it. And it was nice that young girls say that about me. I'm better looking now at 60 than when I was in my 40s. What the hell?
That sounds good. guys are whispering way too loud because I can hear you.
Hey, you, honey, I got a goddamn cramp in my thigh. And I just said, ow, I didn't want to yell out loud. He said, cover me for a second, I got to walk this off. And it's a goddamn cramp in my thigh. You want to know what Phillip's advice was? Phillip says, eat a banana. That's eat more potassium.
Eat a banana, potassium. We need to get Phil a little beanie hat with a propeller on the top of it.
Oh, I like that idea.
Okay.
Some information I'm going to share with all the motorcycle community. They just now, Philip, you may have seen this one, they just now came up with a motorcycle helmet with a windshield wiper. It's for sale right now. A little bit pricey, but kind of an interesting idea.
Here's another one, Bill. Check this out. Hey, Stacy, check. Just listen to this commercial here for us. It's called the Skelly Helmet, Bill.
Skelly Helmet.
Okay.
There we go. This will be the last thing, then we're out of here.
We believe that technology should be seamless, and it should give you more from the experiences you love. Our technology fundamentally enhances human capability. Call from Sarah. Turn left in 20 miles.
High-tech cars and just put it right here. Honestly, it's going to change everything.
When you put on a Skelly helmet, you get an essentially an ecosystem.
As soon as you turn something into a platform, then suddenly you get a level of innovation that you had never thought about before.
Being a professional motorcycle racer takes a lot of fun away from riding on the street, but this could make it fun again.
It will make your riding safer.
With its high-speed microprocessor and operating system, it's the smartest motorcycle helmet ever imagined. Skelly is the future. Join the revolution.
Philip, that truly is so far beyond anything I can comprehend. It is the future. I also am going to make a statement right here. You will never see me with that helmet on my head.
No.
That's too much technology for this poor boy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am off. I have dragons to fight. I have windmills to conquer. And I'm going to say goodnight to everybody now. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.